God's kingdom is not of this world. This is my message today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over the station at this time. We're continuing our study of the Gospel of John, and today we're in the 18th chapter of that great book. We started about 2 years ago, and as you notice, we're almost done with John. First, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of the Spirit of God on this declaration of Thy Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're in the judgment hall, or the hall of judgment, where Jesus was questioned and tried, and where finally the sentence was passed to crucify Him. The last 2 weeks, I have talked to you about Jesus and Peter, and then Jesus and Judas, and today I'm talking to you about Jesus and Pilate. Our text is from the 33rd verse of John 18, following, which says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." Now let me ask you the question, who was Pilate? Pilate was Caesar's man in Jerusalem. Pilate was the Roman emperor's man in Jerusalem. You have to remember the Romans conquered much of the world, establishing an empire called the Roman Empire, which lasted about 500 years. When the Roman armies rolled over Asia and Europe and North Africa, they did not always have to fight, because Rome, in return for its right of occupation of a foreign country, would offer that country what was called a Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. In those days, nations were often at war one with another over all kinds of squabbles. These battles were always bloody. They were always hard on the economy, on industry, and on family life. So Rome said to each nation they were about to take over, if you just surrender to us and let us control you and govern you, and if you pay taxes to us, we, all the might of Rome, will protect you from all your enemies, and you will have the Pax Romana. You have the peace of Rome. And that sounded attractive to many nations, and so they agreed to it. In this time of conquest, Israel also came under the Pax Romana, although not without a fight, and so it was in the days of Pilate. Pilate was the governor of Judah, the region where Jerusalem was the capital, and he was called the procurator. Pilate observed the life of Jesus from the beginning of Christ's ministry, and he informed Caesar Tiberius in Rome of this exceptional Galilean. Pilate had reason to watch Jesus, because Jesus drew large crowds, and there was always the possibility of some insurrection against the Roman government when a large number of Jewish people came together. But Pilate only had a few garrisons, just enough to barely protect the temple area against minor uprisings. And as he continued to observe the life of Jesus through his reporters, he noticed that Jesus was no threat to him at all. He knew Jesus had more power than all the Roman army, but he also knew that Jesus had no intention to harm Rome or to harm him. Pilate actually began to think very positively about Jesus, and he tried to stop the crucifixion of our Lord. But he could only go so far in his efforts. He could only suggest to the Jews that they should not kill Jesus, because he was outnumbered by this large mob of angry Jews led by the Pharisees to kill Jesus the Christ. So he washed his hands in innocence and said, "You go ahead and kill this man. I find no fault in him." And this gets us to the main text of my message today, where Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." Now let us consider this great truth Jesus spake, "My kingdom is not of this world, therefore my servants do not fight. Peter, the chief apostle, did not understand that. Peter had been with Jesus 3 years, day in and day out, yet he did not understand Jesus. For when it came to the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant called Malchus. He fully expected Jesus would follow up and put the officers and the Roman soldiers on the ground one more time. You see, Jesus had already put them down once by simply saying, "I am," which means, "I'm God." And that, just him saying that, put all the officers on the ground. So that gave courage to Peter, and he took his sword and attacked the servant of the high priest, and he thought surely Jesus would once again put these officers back on the ground by the power of God. Peter looked upon this as a win-win situation. He decided that with Jesus having the power of God and with him having a sword, they could handle any opposition that would come their way. But Jesus told him, "Put away your sword." He had no intention to put the opposition on the ground the second time. My friend, have you been with Jesus day and night for a year? Has he been your Savior day and night for a year now, or for 2 years, or perhaps for 3 years? How many years has it been since you received the Lord Jesus? And let me ask you, are you still picking up the sword? Are you still fighting like the world fights? Have you yet discovered that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and therefore his servants do not fight like the world fights? I want you to know that the sword, which in almost all cases God wants us to put away, is the tongue and the evil look. This is why James, the brother of Jesus, says the tongue is a world of iniquity. The tongue is extremely dangerous. Jesus never took on earthly powers. Pilate knew that. This is why Pilate did not fear Jesus. Here Jesus meets Pilate the very first time, and Pilate knew, just from reports, he knew in his spirit that Jesus would not use any earthly force or means to accomplish his goals. But Peter had been with the Lord 3 years, day and night, and he still didn't know Jesus well enough to know that his kingdom was not of this world, and therefore his servants would not use earthly means to accomplish their purposes. Peter was still in the earthly fighting mode. So, my friend, you have been saved. You came to Jesus 3 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 or 20 years ago. Do you still fight like the world fights, with words and awful reactions or actions and with the evil look? What shall I conclude if you still do that? If you still fight, have you really been with Jesus, or have you just been going to church? Have you really been abiding in Jesus, or have you just read your Bible and studied about the Lord? Do you know any more about Jesus than Peter knew after he had physically been with him for 3 years? What shall I think of you if you still argue and fuss and get into divisions and strife? What shall I assume of you? What shall I think of you? Shall I think that the Christ who has come into your life many years ago has left you, perhaps a long time ago, and you're just now playing the religious game? Or shall I assume you never really knew him to start with? Oh, my friend, do you know my Jesus? My kingdom, he said, is not of this world. Therefore, my servants do not fight. That means they don't fight like the world fights. How many times do people who claim to be Christians get up in church business meetings and fight each other with their tongues and with the evil look? How many times do husbands and wives fight each other with their tongues? Oh, my friend, how many times is the sword of the tongue engaged? How many times does Jesus have to say, put away your sword, my kingdom is not of this world? And we don't seem to hear it. We don't seem to get it. We just keep fighting on and on till everything just falls apart. This problem we have today is as old as the apostolic writings. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Who's Paul talking about? He's talking about people who have experienced the rebirth. This is why he calls them my little children. He had begotten them in the gospel, but the Galatian Christians had lost the Christ. They had lost the Christ-like spirit with it. They had lost the kingdom. Christ was once in their lives, but now he was no longer in their hearts. They misbehaved, and so Christ moved out. And here Paul is praying. It says he's travailing. He says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. The word travail here comes from the Greek word odino. It is the pain of parturition. It is a pain a mother experiences when her baby departs from the body. It is possibly one of the greatest or the greatest pain that can be experienced by humankind. It was with such pain that Paul prayed for these Galatian Christians that Christ would be formed within them again, because these believers were back in the fighting business. How many Christians are there in our churches who once had Christ within and think they still have him within? They have this theology that he never leaves, no matter what we do, but that Christ has left them is obvious from their behavior to all people about them, because they're fighting each other and fighting others continually with the sword of their tongue. So the churches break up and marriages break up and friendships break up because they do not know, or they no longer know, that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. There are two kingdoms, you see, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. These two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the world, are opposite one of another. The rules are opposite each of each other. And therefore, the Christian finds himself in constant conflict with the world. If you live by the rules of Christ's kingdom, you are an enemy of the world, and the world is at enmity with you. Oh, dear ones, I plead with you, make your decisions for Jesus. Make your decisions to live by the kingdom rules. Live by his word. Live by his voice. And let his spirit dwell within you. Do not give in to the ways of the world. Do not fight like the world. Put away your sword. Stop cutting off ears and splitting heads. Do not let the world's ways get into your heart. For the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Well, my friend, you claim to be a Christian, and that's wonderful if you really are one. But the real test whether you are or not a Christian with Christ dwelling within you depends on what you do with your tongue. It depends on what comes out of your mouth, whether it's sweet water or bitter water, whether it's the life of Christ or the life of the world. Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servants fight. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until then. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.